This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Her Vantage on Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan. Now, corporations perform better when they have the best people on board. However, despite the realisation that board members are appointed based on merit, women are still outnumbered by men at the decision-making level. Now, this imbalance between men and women on corporate boards will remain a general practice unless drastic measures like targets or quotas are introduced to increase the number of women members. But is this necessarily a good thing? In Malaysia, the government has realized the advantage of women sitting on corporate boards and has introduced its own initiatives to remedy the lack of female representation. And as always on this show, we speak to women of achievement and influence. So here to tell us more about this matter and about her experience sitting on boards as non-executive director of Lendlease, Macquarie Group, Toll Holdings and Bupa Australia New Zealand is Nicola Wickfield-Evans. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So can you tell us about the situation in Australia as far as women in leadership and board positions are concerned?
Well, Australia has been trying to increase the number of women in executive and non-executive roles in Australian companies. In the listed company space, we've been gradually increasing the number of women. I've actually got the statistics here. As at 31 January 2015, 19.4% of non-executive directors on ASX 200 companies, so the largest 200 companies on the Australian Stock Exchange, were women. Mm-hmm. And 35 of those companies do not have any female non-executive director. So that's a move of about 4% over 5 years. Interestingly, Australian government board appointments are about 45% of female board members. So there's been a much greater move in the government or the non-private sector, which I think is fairly similar to what's happened in Malaysia, than there has been in Australia. To try and change the number of female non-executive directors on boards, a couple of initiatives have been introduced in Australia. One in 2010 was the creation of a group called the Male Champions of Change, mm-hmm. by the Australian Federal Sex Commissioner, Elizabeth Broderick. And that is a group made up of the CEOs and chairmen of Australia's largest public companies. And their mission is to directly increase the number of women in both executive and non-executive positions. And they've been quite influential. And recently, that group has just announced the creation of a Male Champions of Change in the first sector, which is the property sector, which is recognised as lagging behind, you know, other sectors like finance and retail in Australia. And then secondly, the Australian Stock Exchange requires listed companies to specifically detail in their annual reports what diversity initiatives each company has. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also very similar to a requirement that the Bursa Malaysia have as well.
Yes, that's right. So you're starting to see a shift in terms of the private sector in Australia.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, we are.
Right. Well, you've had a lot of experience working in Asia, and a recent survey by research company Grant Thornton shows a drop or no increase in leadership roles across the globe, with the lowest ever statistics being in Asian countries. What's your opinion on that?
I think that's really interesting because I think that covers all leadership positions. Mm. So I think it's in the private and the public sector. My perception is that Asia is interesting because you've got some countries that do very well, like China does have a larger percentage of women in public and private executive and non-executive roles. But then you have countries like Japan where it's almost negligible. Mm-hmm. So I think when you're looking right across Asia, the countries that are performing poorly in this area drag everybody else down. But I do think that there hasn't been the rapid increase that I think a lot of women were expecting, you know, particularly after the Beijing Conference on Women 20 years ago. There was a lot of goodwill and expectation that this would move quite quickly, and I think it surprised women globally that there hasn't been much move. And it's not only happening here, it's the same in Europe. We had the announcement last week by Germany where the German government is going to mandate the quota of 30%, and they followed other European countries like Norway. And maybe government intervention like that will shift the dial at some point.
In your experience, what are the issues that keep women out of leadership positions, out of boardrooms?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. It's lack of executive experience. So if you look at the percentages I gave you on the number of women in non-executive roles in Australia's largest companies, the story on women in executive positions is actually much worse. So out of that 200, I think we've only got three or four who are female CEOs, and you don't have as many women in the senior line management roles. You have a lot of women in roles like general counsel, company secretary, HR and people issues and marketing, but you tend to have less women in the operational side. So if you look at the type of people that boards appoint as directors, it is typically people who've had executive and management experience. So when you have a small pool of women who have had that experience, then you're going to get less women who are going to get opportunities to be promoted as non-executive directors. So there needs to be a shift around the type of qualifications, expertise and experience boards are looking for to get more women onto boards.
So that's the sort of mindset, sort of maybe even a change in how we view our career paths perhaps and in career planning.
Yes. I mean, I very much encourage women who talk to me to stay in executive roles, to make career moves deliberately to get that type of experience and to be very strategic about their careers. I think men are much more strategic about their careers than women are, and a lot of women tend to not promote themselves or go for big roles, you know, for any number of reasons. They might feel they don't have the experience or they don't have the support at home if they've got children, or they just might think that they're not ready to take on those types of roles.
In your opinion, you know, you were talking earlier about Germany and the 30% quota, mandatory quota imposed on corporations. Do you think it will work, and is there a downside to that?
I think it will work in that it does, having quotas does increase the percentage, and that's been the experience in Norway. The downside and the disadvantage that most people raise when you talk about quotas is that you could lose the ability of women being promoted on merit. So you'll just get women who are being promoted to fill a quota and who may not necessarily have the right experience, and then will always be seen as a second-class citizen at the boardroom table. And that's the biggest concern that people have with the quota system. But I think increasingly senior business women are thinking that it might be the only way that is going to move the percentages up.
So on the flip side, would it then be ideal that board members be chosen based on merit?
Yes. I mean, ideally, when you're looking at the composition of a board, you're looking for people who have different types of experience to bring to the board table, who have come from different backgrounds, so that you have people who can have a robust conversation. And ideally, they should always be appointed on merit. But the concern if you're having to fill a quota is that the appointments won't be on merit.
I'm speaking with Nicola Wakefield Evans, non-executive director, board member of Lendlease, Macquarie Group, Toll Holdings and Bupa Australia and New Zealand. We're talking about women's journeys towards leadership positions and board membership. More when we come back on Her Vantage Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, this is Maya Tan and you're listening to Her Vantage on Resource Centre. If you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Nicola Wakefield Evans, Non-Executive Director of Lendlease, Macquarie Group, Toll Holdings and Bupa Australia New Zealand. We're talking about our women's journeys towards leadership positions and board membership. We've talked about how it's important to be strategic when it comes to career planning and to consciously choose roles that would be useful, that would have that would have board membership as an end goal. Now, what's your advice, Nicola, on navigating the boys' club? You know, men network very differently from women, and they go out, they network over drinks. What holds women back from behaving like one of the boys?
I think it's a couple of things. I think women have very busy lives. Most women are not only looking after their careers, but they're managing families. They're often managing elderly parents. They get more involved in activities that involve their children. My advice has always been that you should seek male mentors who are well networked. So I think women need to network in different ways to men. So one thing I've always had are a succession of male mentors who have worked with me around my career, who've given me career advice, who have encouraged me to take different roles. I was very much encouraged to move to Hong Kong in my mid-40s to take a big management role. And the mentor I had at the time was incredibly supportive of me taking that role and, in fact, encouraged me to do so, even though it was difficult because I had, you know, four children, a husband with a big career. So I think networking is very important, but there has to be a recognition that women do it differently. And you have to seek out your networks and seek out male mentors who are prepared to support you.
Mm. Are there any repercussions of behaving like one of the boys?
I don't think so. You know, I think you need to be very much part of the environment in which you're working. And over my career, I've actually seen a change where men have become a lot more accepting of women, you know, not necessarily going out drinking, but, you know, there's a big coffee culture, for example, in Australia where it's not uncommon to go out and have a coffee with somebody. And I think that's a much more acceptable form of networking for women because it sort of fits into their daily life. A lot more women, you know, I think play golf, which is another form of networking. And also you can network, you have different parts of your life where you can network with different people. And it's also very important keeping connected, and it's much easier to do that these days with facilities like LinkedIn. Where you can stay connected to people you meet with or who've been colleagues of yours, people you've met through transactions or your working environment or conferences that you've gone to.
Mm. In Malaysia, there seems to be facing a drop in women returning to the workforce after certain life cycles, you know, after having children and so on. And a lot of them are turning towards becoming micro-entrepreneurs and that sort of thing. Do you think perhaps that it's also the case that women don't see the benefit of taking on leadership positions, that they don't see the benefit in being a board member?
I don't think it's so much not seeing the benefit. I do think it's hard. I mean, one of the biggest impediments in Australia to women advancing in the workforce is lack of available childcare. So it's very difficult for women with young families to stay working full-time if they don't have childcare. So what we're seeing is a lot more women exiting and entering the workforce at different times, and that, of course, has an impact on the way that you progress, particularly if you're working for a company or a big professional services firm. It does have an impact if you have to keep exiting and entering at different stages of your career, or you have to go from full-time to part-time. So I think structurally, I don't think it's that women don't see the benefit. I think women are very good at working their lives to suit their circumstances, and that's why I think we see a lot more women, it's the same in Australia, who are forming small businesses because that suits their particular environment than having to stay working for a big corporation or professional services firm.
Mm. Well, while we're on the topic, I'd like to hear from you what you believe are the benefits, you know, of taking on a leadership role, going through all those obstacles and challenges, you know, I mean, monetary compensation aside, right? What are the benefits of taking on a leadership role, of being on a board?
Look, I've had an immensely rewarding and fulfilling career. It hasn't been easy. I've got four children, four sons. So I've had to juggle childcare, working full-time. I've had a job at various times where I've had to do a lot of travel. But I loved the work I did as a lawyer when I was a partner at a big Australian law firm. Mm-hmm. And I equally really enjoy the work I do now as a non-executive director. I have a chance now of getting involved in four fabulous companies in different industries. And you get to learn the culture, what makes those companies tick, what makes them successful. And you're part of that environment. And it's very rewarding and very exciting.
So from your observation of the situation in Malaysia, you know, in meeting women in Malaysia, what have we got going for us?
Well, I think you've got a couple of things. I've always enjoyed meeting professional Malaysian women in business, Malaysian women in higher education. I've always been struck by their passion for whatever they do. And I've spoken at a lunch today at the Australian High Commission, and the quality of women were absolutely fantastic, from members of parliament, senior executives in some of Malaysia's top corporations, members of universities, a lot in the education sector. And I've always been struck by their passion and determination to do really well. And I've witnessed that over 30 years of working in Asia. I've worked with some fantastic women from Malaysia on transactions I've done, working with Malaysian lawyers, working with investment bankers. I've seen Malaysian women working in Hong Kong and in London and New York. And I think it's their determination that really inspires me.
What else can we learn from Australia and how they've navigated around the issue of gender diversity?
I think you need to bring men into the equation. So you've got to have... The thing that has struck me over the last couple of years is the success of the Male Champions of Change program that I talked about, having senior men stand up and say, you know, we're going to change things, we have the ability to do so, we're going to do it in the companies that we operate in, and we, you know, as a form of encouraging everybody else to do the same thing. So I really believe that having male champions of change, senior businessmen who champion the cause of seeing more women appointed at senior levels in business will make a difference. And I think it's true in Australia and in other countries where they've done the same or very similar programs.
All right. Any key takeaways for the women of Malaysia?
Keep doing what you're doing, because we need women to, you know, you have to take risks with your careers. I think we need more women step up or to lean in, as other people have said, to be strategic about their careers, to plan ahead, to think, you know, where do I want to be in the next 5 years? If I want to be in this position, what do I have to do to get there? Do I need to get more experience? Do I need to do further education? Do I need to move overseas to get the experience? I think women need to think strategically about their careers and look at the opportunities. I think the opportunities are there, and we have to go and get them as much as them being presented to us.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure too.
Nicola Wakefield Evans, Non-Executive Director of Lendlease, Macquarie Group, Toll Holdings and Bupa Australia and New Zealand. This is her Vantage on Resource Centre, and I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.